Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World, visiting with Charles Gasparino, the TV star Charles Gasparino, on Fox Breaking News, Fox Business Breaking News, all the time about corporate America here in 2024. How did we get here? Why are some companies still entangled with what we now regard as woke capitalism? Is woke capitalism coming back? Is the presidential race going to clear the air? We don't know. But we can look at examples, because everything's in the example. We're going to go to the Walt Disney Company, a place in Florida where I took my children happily in the 1990s. It was a joy. The last time we went there was the beginning of the 21st century. They're all grown up now, and we have wonderful memories and pictures everywhere. And then, Charlie, this is a crime to take Walt Disney and turn it into a political act. Was it Bob Iger who started this, and then Bob Chapek inherited it, and then Bob Iger took it back? I can't figure out where it began at Disney, because clearly it wasn't there when I was there in the 90s. There was a Jungle Cruise in the 1990s. You know, they shot at rhinoceroses. There were people in the jungle. They're all gone. Yeah. They're all gone.
Yeah, I mean, so the Disney that you experienced, which was this sort of brainchild of Michael Eisner, who wasn't quite he's not like a raging conservative, by the way, John. I mean, he's you know, Democrat, you know, but he was a business guy, and you know, his whole theory of Disney was a sort of entertainment conglomerate that was along the lines of GE, and he kind of ran it that way. He was kind of a Jack Welchian type guy, tough guy, you know, very Machiavellian. But he created the modern Disney, which had ESPN as a subsidiary or a sports subsidiary, parks, movies. I mean, some of the biggest movies that ever came during the Eisner years. He had some management blind spots. I mean, you just have to go through the some of the stuff that went down with Michael Ovitz coming in and leaving, and you know. He ran afoul of the Disney family, which still had a board seat at the time. And, you know, he eventually, after a very successful run, gets essentially pushed out. And then the guy that replaces him is Bob Iger, who's this sort of, you know, very sharp, you know, operator who's also very woke. And he brings a more now. He's able to paper over a lot of his wokeness because media, when he took over, and so we're talking, what, 2000 or so? Check the date on him.
Beginning of the century.
Yeah, beginning of the century. So 2000 or so, he takes over. Media is on a roll. You know, all these big media companies are making tons of money. They're killing it. And, you know, so he can go left, which was part of his... which he had a cultural affinity to, along with some of the cultural factors affecting, you know, broadly the left-wing populism we just talked about from Elizabeth Warren and everything. He can go left in programming, in what's going on at the theme parks and everything else, without it mattering that much because Disney was making tons of money. So he basically retires in 2019, announces retirement. You know, Disney stock is doing pretty well. But the company is so far to the left at this point. It's not funny. I mean, you know, like Congress people are starting to talk about it. You know, the cultural right is starting to say, what the hell is going on at this theme park? And then, you know, he turns the company over to his handpicked successor, a guy named Bob Chapek, who, by the way, is a Midwestern kind of Republican type guy, not a big culture warrior. He's not really plugged in Hollywood. He's an operations guy inside Disney. So he comes with a kind of interesting resume and a few sort of managerial blind spots. But he, you know, and then, you know, it's funny. So he gets, Chapek gets in there. At the same time, you have the ascendancy of the cultural right that basically takes over Florida. I mean, Florida no longer is a swing state by 2019, 2021, 2020. It is the home of Ron DeSantis, one of the conservative movement's rising stars. Its legislature is staunchly conservative. You know, Florida has become a place where conservatives that live in New York flee to, where the Hispanic population is very conservative because they've fled, you know, communist dictatorships across the world. The Puerto Rican, there's a diaspora of Puerto Ricans in Florida right now, but they're the middle class that got sick of living in Puerto Rico and they moved to Florida, and they're much more attuned to, you know, conservative policies, they're much more family oriented. You put all this together, Florida is like, you know, it's very, you know, essentially is middle America in Florida right now. So Chapek comes over and, you know, he knows that. Now, remember, Disney has its home base in Burbank.
Right.
But its real home is Florida, where it's got this expanse of parks. And, you know, he wants to make nice with this guy. And so, but he does run a blue company in a red state. So the first thing that DeSantis does, because he's prepared to run for president, is he passes a law that taps into the sort of cultural leanings of the emerging conservative movement, and says, you know what, no more same sex, no more sex ed for toddlers. We're not going to teach kids pronouns. You know, we're not going to teach them how to have gay sex. You know, we're not going to teach them about trans, you know, the trans movement. We're not going to teach about it. We're going to, like, parents, if you want to do it, do it. But until you get into the third grade, you know, it's not happening here. You know, very popular law in Florida, not popular with the Disney rank and file. And what happens is Chapek initially stays out of the fray, says, listen, I want nothing to do with this. Iger on the sideline, when the law comes out, it gets dubbed the Don't Say Gay Law, right? Becomes a political weapon by the cultural left. And Iger comes out and says it's outrageous that Disney is not taking a stand on this. And it just lights the fuse against Chapek inside his company.
And Chapek, did he take this on to prove that he was worthy of Iger's attention? Why?
No. And if you read the book, John, at that point, he's at odds with Iger. You know, by the way, Disney's finances are going south at this point.
Yeah.
Out because all the stuff that Iger rode the wave of, you know, a lot of good luck with the markets. But then he did something kind of crazy and he bought for like $60 billion my boss's, Rupert Murdoch's, my ultimate boss's, entertainment assets out of Fox, laden him with a lot of debt. And, you know, and then, you know, they had to get into streaming, which is costly and not profitable. You know, COVID shut down the parks. I mean, you know, Chapek had a mess on his hands financially that he had to deal with. So he didn't want to deal with this other stuff. And then the revolt inside his company occurs and he freaks out and he does support the law. And what happens is DeSantis calls him in and says, listen, this is crazy. You're supporting this. Disney does business in China, which is the most oppressive place in the world. Florida's not oppressive. All I'm saying is, you know, we don't teach kids sex ed until they're out of third grade. And he goes, oh, I have to oppose it. I'm getting heat from internally. He goes, okay. And so he goes to war with DeSantis. He does he overcorrects on wokeness, and, you know, he loses badly, and he's out within a few months. And Disney has really never recovered from that.
And Iger comes back in.
And then he's actually forced to go less woke. And he had ends with DeSantis on, you know, remember, DeSantis was going to pull, well, threatened to pull and did pull.
Right.
Special taxing authorities called Reedy Creek.
That's gone. They got rid of it.
And they're not fighting it anymore.
Right.
And Iger
started this, And then he comes back and looks like the hero by backing off.
I don't think he looks like the hero. I think that what happened was when he came back, you know, he wasn't treated like a hero. He got activist investors in the stock. He was forced to make changes and, you know, cut people. And now they're talking about selling ESPN. And it's he's got a mess on his hands, you know, in terms of a media company. And he can't afford to go woke now.
Let's mention ESPN quickly, because you also tell the story, which I did not know, that ESPN went political at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And is now not at this point be able to right itself because of cord cutting, because of a change of habits of the younger generation.
ESPN still makes money, but, you know, if you look at on a lot of money, but the trajectory is it's going to make less because of cord cutting. And, you know, one of the problems they have is that, you know, they become so political that, you know, there's, you know, if you want to be virtue signaled while you listen about sports stuff, that's fine. But a lot of people don't. So they lost a lot of their audience. I tell the ESPN saga through the saga of Sage Steele, who's a mixed race woman who was one of their top stars, very talented broadcaster, who had the temerity to be, you know, kind of conservative. I wouldn't say she's totally conservative, but she was skeptical of the vaxxers. She said it at the time. She's got a white mother and a black father who she loves dearly, both of them. I interviewed her.
Who played football for West Point.
Oh, yeah. The guy's a military guy. I mean, yeah. He's a tough guy, and he's like, you know, he instilled certain values in her, like never give up. And, you know, and speak your mind. And, you know, she would speak her mind, and her mind was heterodox. What was in her mind was heterodox compared to the woke ideology of ESPN. She spoke out against trans men in playing in women's sports, the men that transitioned to be women in women's sports. She, you know, the racial justice riots, you know, the largely peaceful riots that were, you know, essentially burning down cities. She was against, you know, she spoke about that. She gave a interview on a podcast where she explained the difference between her and Barack Obama, where she couldn't understand. I mean, she raised this issue, and it's interesting, and this cost her career. She said three things. She said it was evil that Disney, which owns ESPN, forced her to take the vax. She said evil. And, you know, a gun to her head is kind of evil, but she said it. She said that, then she said, she made a comment about her parents. And she said, "Oh, I love my parents, both of them. I'm mixed race. Barack Obama wants to be black. He can be black. He can do him and I can do me. But I don't understand how, he, you know, he was raised by a white mother, not his black father. So she raised the issue with him, whatever it did. Inside ESPN, and, you know, over the next year, she negotiated her exit package, so to speak.
You mentioned what happened to her, and that's an aspect of this that we need to attend, Charlie, which is that woke capitalism was, and maybe still is, intolerant. The book is Go Woke, Go Broke, The Inside Story of the Radicalization of Corporate America. Charles Gasparino is the author. I'm John Madden.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.